Right now on VFN TV, President Donald Trump signs a historical Black college and university executive order, standing up for the African-American community in our nation. God speaks prophetically about what President Trump's going to mean to be able to help out the African-American population. God also speaks prophetically through Pastor John Kilpatrick in regards to the truth and Truman and Trump and how they come together. And Ruby Bridges, do you even know who that particular young girl is in that picture? We're going to show you today the Ruby Bridges story and so much more, including women in the STEM industry, science, technology, and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, it's so exciting to see what the Lord told us prophetically would take place, but we're seeing our president, President Donald Trump, sign an executive order specifically for the historical Black colleges and university and how important they are to telling the whole story of history of America. As a matter of fact, let's join him now in the White House.
So this is historically Black colleges and universities executive order, very important to all of us. This group has been fantastic, many of which we were with yesterday, and really developed something very special. So thank you all for being here. Thank you, Mr. Vice President, also Mike, for being here. This is a very important moment, and a moment that means a great deal to me. This month has been a wonderful opportunity to celebrate African American history and to begin working together to create a better future for African Americans and universities and colleges and everything that is African American. Today we're taking action to help make that future happen and that future better. Historically, Black colleges and universities are incredibly important institutions, woven into the fabric of our history, just about like no other. Church is very important, right?
Yes.
Colleges and universities. Come here. My defender, he's on there. Education has the power to uplift. It has the power to transform, and perhaps most important, education has the power to create greater equality and justice in our lives. That's why today I'm thrilled to be signing an executive order to recognize the importance of historically Black college and universities. Very important. They have played such an important role in achieving progress for African Americans and in our nation's march for justice. HBCUs have been really pillars of the African-American community for more than 150 years. Amazing job. And a grand and enduring symbol of America at its absolute best. And I congratulate you all to say that.
Thank you.
With this executive order, we will make HBCUs a priority in the White House, an absolute priority.
All right. Yes. Yes. All right.
That they're not a priority, but that's okay. And we will pledge our support to you, your mission, and our shared mission of bringing education and opportunity to all of our people. And so I just want to congratulate. These are very, very special people surrounding me. You've done an amazing job. It's not easy. Nothing's easy. But you've done an amazing job, and I just want to congratulate you all, and I want to thank you on behalf of our country. And I'm going to sign this.
Thank you.
This is really fantastic. Who's going to get that?
This is so exciting to see our president stand up for the African-American citizen in America, stand up for the colleges, the historical Black colleges and universities who, if you go take history in the universities, they don't tell you the whole story of America. Right now, we need to merge our stories. And right now, the historical Black colleges and universities are helping us keep our whole story for what's taking place in America. Now our president standing right behind them. And I think about this, just this last Sunday at the VFN Dream Center, Brianna Bolander heard a prophetic dream. God spoke to her in a prophetic dream and started talking about three presidents. He talked about President Bill Clinton to her. He talked about President Barack Obama, and he talked about President Trump in regards to the edifying of the African-American citizens in America and what President Trump will be doing. We just saw it take place right here, but let's go and listen to Brianna. She's going to share this prophetic dream, and we'll be able to talk about it a little bit. It was exciting to see that that justice is going to come down like a mighty waterfall, just like President Trump said just on yesterday's program. Let's take a look.
So I had a dream last night that I was in like a Sam's Club, like a huge warehouse type grocery store. And I was with President Trump and one of his advisors, and I was kind of leading him through. And there was this young African-American man there with us. And the whole time as we're walking through the store, he's just talking to President Trump and just talking and talking and talking. And so as we're going through the aisles, each aisle was an issue, like taxes and poverty. And as we walked through those aisles, it was so crowded, it was difficult to get through them. And then some aisles we passed through, they were just completely blocked off. We couldn't even go there. And we came up to this one aisle. And all the while, this young African-American man is just talking and talking. And he's so excited. And we came to this one aisle, and at the end of it was a poster that they had done this nationwide poll of something to the effect of, what administration did you feel like you were the most, like,
represented
or edified. And
And speaking to the African-American population.
Right. And so overwhelmingly, there was circled Obama. And you could tell that this poll had been done before because Clinton's name was there. And those who had selected Clinton before scratched that out and circled Obama. And the young man that was with us, who was talking this whole time, said, "You see, they felt that they were edified or represented by this administration, but the truth is they lost their identity in that administration." Mm. And then the dream ended.
Now she don't know the history that Bill Clinton, President Clinton, was considered, before President Barack Obama, was the first black president, first African-American president, which means they felt he represented that part of the population. And then, of course, Obama comes as an African-American president, and there's so many things that he represents that are good in the context of that aspect of it. Yeah. But the truth is, God's heard the cry, because really, I believe that people took advantage of pain and victimized people again. Use issues to victimize the people. And now you have somebody who God is saying he's going to, this is that. This is the cry of your heart. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take a while to digest that. So God is going to answer the injustice that's been happening in America. And I think that's just so exciting. And she had no idea about the history. So thank God for that. Thanks. Appreciate you. That's so powerful, isn't it? God's saying that President Trump is going to do just like what he just did with the executive orders that he just signed, and so much more. It reminds me of what the Lord said to Pastor John Kilpatrick about comparing President Truman to President Trump and what took place during that time. And said that it'll be just like it was, it'll be that way again, and people will quit listening to gossip and they want to hear truth. As a matter of fact, let's listen to that word right now. This is Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, sharing this prophetic word, and we're seeing it take place now. Let's take a look.
I was riding along the highway last Thursday evening. I was engaged in a conversation by cell phone with my administrator regarding budget matters. As I was listening to her answer a question, I heard Holy Spirit interrupt me and said, "How do you spell Truman?" I thought for a moment, and I said, T-R-U-M-A-N. He then said, "How do you spell Trump?" And I said, T-R-U-M-P. I immediately made the connection. He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again. He then asked me, how do you spell truth? I said, T-R-U-T-H. The Lord said, he's changing the appetites of people. Instead of the public now rejoicing in rumors, they will now become excited to hear the truth again. They will develop a love for the truth and reject the lies as well as the liars. This will not be true of everyone in every place, but a shift has already happened. Truth had fallen in the streets, but I tell you, I'm lifting it up again, and it shall cause great rejoicing. I, the Lord, have done this by my own power, by my right arm of might, and by my justice. Give God praise. Hallelujah.
That's so exciting, isn't it? Because we went for so long and you're thinking, is this insanity or what? Nobody even cares what truth is anymore. And it's like God's touching the appetites of people and they're going to be interested in the truth. They want to know what the truth is. And that's what we do. We focus on keeping the conversation light. And, you know, for years now, as a matter of fact, we've documented truth. We have thousands and thousands of segments and programs that we've been keeping the light, keeping the conversation light so that you can have a light conversation and find out what the truth is and find out DNA behind how did this come to pass. And it's so important. And you're looking at God. I mean, the reason why we are here is because the Lord said, do it. And you've partnered with us and together we are doing this. And we'll talk about this in eternity, but understand that this truth going forth, people will want it. They'll want to know what the truth is. They're going to want to know what God says. They're going to want to know how to apply that in their life, that God is involved in the everyday life of his people. And as a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to go hear Ruby Bridges and give her story. You might not know about Ruby Bridges, but Ruby Bridges was a young little girl when integration of schools was taking place in history. And she was in New Orleans. And all of a sudden, the local politicians had a racist spirit at that time over New Orleans. And they didn't want any African-American children to come into the schools with their white children. And we can't even imagine that today, but that's the real history of America. Well, that little girl, all these years later, she's still here. Her name is Ruby Bridges, and we're going to hear her story. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Everybody will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now, learning how to abide with God is so important because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step.
It's beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the king since his kingdom is manifesting.
That's right.
It's be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth. It's about to happen. You want to know the king.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN-TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store and or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. And we have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to just say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That's so amazing, you know, when you study and you see the history about Harry Truman. Mm-hmm. He's the one that signed the papers for Israel to become a nation in 1948, I believe it is, mm-hmm. and said the weight of America would stand behind this.
I believe it was 7 minutes after Israel declared that they're a state, Truman responded.
Yeah.
It was that fast.
It would be a few months later, I believe, that he would have an election, and everybody thought that, you know, he was going to lose. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, the story is that he never stayed up for election returns. He just did what he could do, campaigned, and then Secret Service took him to a hotel somewhere in some city somewhere, and he got a glass of milk, and he just went to bed and slept through the whole thing. Well, while he was sleeping, it was just like the elections of November the 8th, 2016. Where everybody was totally convinced, they had the papers printed already, just like they had the papers printed for Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. being the president. They were already calling her Madam President, and they had this huge fireworks display and all these things. I mean, everybody really believed that they thought Dewey would be the president, right. But it was going to be Truman. And so he wakes up and he finds out, and so you see him holding the headlines up on the back of the train that Truman, well, it said Dewey, but they printed the papers and they got it wrong. That's so amazing. It's just like the Lord told Pastor John Kilpatrick mm-hmm. that it would be just like it was in Truman's campaign and the nation during that time because he stood with Israel. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge story behind that. But we actually have, I believe, on the VFN torch, the actual signature of President Truman. And he signed that, you know, and he kind of changed a few things on that. And now we have a president. The first thing he did, we showed you on VFN TV, you know, inviting Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and making a phone call, straightening things out, saying he just spoke at the State of the Union, mm-hmm. standing with Israel. And we're looking, God raised him up to be able to protect Israel. And you're seeing, too, how important it is for us to always maintain a loyalty to God, a loyalty to Israel, and a loyalty to our Constitution that God's allowed us to have, in that order. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. So I think I go back and I look, And what God said specifically, too, that he is going to be answering the cry of so many's heart in America that suffer from injustice that was taking place. And the injustice of racism, and nobody really knows the injustice of racism unless they've been through racism. And somebody, you know, your economy and your housing or whatever it is, and just generationally coming in. And the president, through school choice and through where he brought in Betsy DeVos. Betsy DeVos is a spearheading school choice, which mm-hmm. means if your kid is going to a rundown school that's underfunded in a city, for example, you can homeschool your kid and they're going to give you a check to be able to have an excellent education. The money that, that you pay, like right now, we're paying money. We, our kids are raised right now. Just take a moment and just thank you, Jesus. And they're raised, but we're still paying taxes. We pay $500 or so a year, something like that, towards the taxes. And so they're going to redirect those monies to where you would like your kid to go. Mm-hmm. And so you're empowering that parent to be able to educate their kids. And listen, if you can't read, if you don't have an education, and your job opportunities are very, very low, and you're looking at a president that's doing exactly what the cry of our hearts, who anybody wants justice, for everybody to have a fair chance in America. So mm-hmm. Betsy DeVos, who's heading the Secretary of Education, mm-hmm. she is gonna spearhead that. And you're looking at Ruby Bridges' story we're about to see. Ruby Bridges, imagine now Ruby's parents being given a choice of what school they could go to and have the best education, and to hear her viewpoint, because here she is, a young little girl going to school like any other girl, and she had no idea what was going on around her. And it was evilness. It was outright evil, the spirit that had that area and parts of our country in regards to just hating on her because of the color of her skin, hating on the community that was had that color of skin. And it was like, it's just spirit of racism. And she walked right through that racism, right into that school, but she had U.S. Marshals with her. And mm-hmm. It was President Eisenhower that sent the U.S. Marshals. And Eisenhower was the general that prophetic word that spoken to Pastor John Kilpatrick, mm-hmm. that was a general for Truman.
Yeah.
Oh, it's exciting. It's, God is going to, he heard your cry and he's going to answer. But let's go back and let's learn. Let's learn from history. What was Ruby Bridges? What was it like from her perspective? Let's go there now.
When we turned the corner, I saw all of these people.
November 14th, 1960. It was 6-year-old Ruby Bridges' first day of school at William France Elementary in New Orleans.
I remember them chanting 2, 4, 6, 8. We don't want to integrate.
It had been 5 years since the U.S. Supreme Court mandated the desegregation of schools. Now Washington was putting pressure on Louisiana and other states that had yet to comply. In a veiled attempt to appear compliant, city officials in New Orleans gave 150 black kindergartners an entrance exam, one they had no chance of passing. But 6 of the 150 passed that test. Ruby was one of them.
Everybody was coming over and congratulating my parents. She's so smart, she passed, we're so proud of her. So I actually thought that I was so smart that I passed this test that would allow me to go from first grade to college.
Three girls, including Ruby, were selected to attend William France Elementary. But by the first day, the other two girls had dropped out, making Ruby the only black student in the school.
My parents only said, Ruby, you're gonna go to a new school today, and you better behave. There was a knock at the door, my parents opened the door, and 4 very tall white men were standing at the door. And I remember looking at them and thinking, well, who are they?
Those 4 men were United States Marshals, sent under order of President Eisenhower. Their job was to escort Ruby to and from school. One of the men was Charles Burks.
Well, we had a lot of demonstrations against what we were doing. The main thing was just be sure nothing happened to her. So we'd tell her, just stay close to us. We'll be all right.
There were barricades everywhere. There were cameras everywhere. I thought I'd stumbled into a parade. I actually thought it was Mardi Gras.
It didn't seem to bother her any. She was just doing what she had been told to do.
Ruby's mother went as well. Once inside, they were taken to the principal's office where they stayed all day. There, they watched white parents scramble in and out of classrooms, taking their children out of school.
500 kids walked out of school that day. And I didn't know what was going on because nobody explained anything to me. Finally, the bell rang and someone came into the office and they said, school is dismissed. You can leave. And I remember sitting there and thinking, wow, college is easy.
By the next day, the crowds had doubled.
And they kept pointing at me and shouting. I kept saying, we're going to poison her. We're going to hang her.
I was in favor of what we were doing. I knew what we were doing was right, and we were going to make sure it happened.
This time, Ruby was taken to a classroom.
I remember looking into that classroom, and all I saw was empty desk. I didn't see one child.
But there was one person there, her teacher, Barbara Henry. Coming from Boston, she was the only one willing to teach Ruby.
I remember looking at her and thinking, she's white. I'd never seen a white teacher before. She looked exactly like the people outside. She wasn't. I always say that she showed me her heart.
The following week, students started to return. But the principal confined Ruby to her classroom and didn't allow her to play outside or eat in the cafeteria.
I remember going to the back of the classroom to sharpen my pencil, and you could look onto the playground. There was these huge oak trees, swings and slides and basketball goals. And I kept thinking as I sharpened my pencil, where are the kids?
By the end of the school year, the protests had disbanded, and Ruby was finally allowed to meet the other children.
I finally found them, you know, and I was so excited. So I went in to play with them. This little boy looked at me and he said, I can't play with you. My mom said not to play with you because you're a nigger. So that's what this is about. It's not Mardi Gras. And this isn't college. It's about me. It's about me and the way I look and the color of my skin. And in my mind, that was okay. Yes, he hurt my feelings, but I wasn't angry with him because I felt like he was explaining to me why he couldn't play with me. If my parents said, Ruby, don't play with him, he's Asian, Hispanic, Indian, Muslim, white, mixed race, Jewish, gay, I would not have played with him. I didn't feel like there was anything for me to forgive. The fact that in my mind, he was explaining to me and that I would have done the same thing. It wasn't like I was angry with him, so there was nothing there to forgive. The fact that when I passed the crowd, I thought it was Mardi Gras. There was nothing there for me to forgive.
Ruby returned the following year. She had a new teacher and a room full of classmates. She went on to attend an integrated high school and eventually graduated from Kansas City Business School with a degree in travel and tourism. And when she married and began raising a family, she taught her children to rely on God.
She always falls on her faith, and she makes sure that you do so as well. So it doesn't matter what you go through, doesn't matter who hates you, who dislikes you. As long as you have that faith and that relationship with God, you're fine.
Ruby returned to William France Elementary in 1993 when she enrolled her four nieces. She witnessed the same racism she had seen as a little girl. So to build bridges between the races, she volunteered as a parent liaison and established an after-school multicultural art club. Soon after, she launched the Ruby Bridges Foundation and began sharing her story with students all over the U.S.
I see hope that most of us don't see. I'm in schools every day. I am so humbled by the way my story moves kids. It's so simple. How Mrs. Henry didn't judge me. How all I wanted was a friend. Kids get that. They understand that. Our kids know nothing about racism. It's us as adults. We take racism and we pass it on to our kids. And that's why it's still around. Each and every one of us come into the world with a clean heart. I believe that if we are going to get past our racial differences, even today, it's going to come from our kids.
It's been over 55 years since Ruby walked up those steps and took her place in history. Today, her legacy continues to make a difference.
I was happy to see what she did because I knew it could be done. I've always told Ruby that, and I'm glad I was there, able to have something to do with it.
To have equality, it takes someone with courage to make that change so that we can come together. And you have to have a great, faithful foundation to stand up for something that you truly believe. My superhero, she does that every day.
Out of the commandments, if you could only keep one, the one you should keep is love thy neighbor. That is the key. And I have to care about you as a person and a human being. I really believe the longer I live that it really has everything to do with love.
Miss Bridges, we were just so touched and thankful for your grace and sharing that with us. And we requested you to come to Pensacola on the Gulf Coast. We'd love to have you as a guest on Pensacola, in the Gulf Coast area on VFN TV and the community to come together and just learn from the wisdom. Because truly, the greatest commandments of all, just like you said, is love. And from where you came from and hearing your perspective, it's just such a blessing. We got to remember that we didn't just get here. There's a history to how we got here. And it's important. The more we study history, the more we realize that we need, you know, grace in all of our lives. But we need to really know what happened. But you're looking, I mean, think about this. You saw that Norman Rockwell painting when you saw the little African-American girl with four larger white men that are standing there walking with her. So you're looking at, that's Ruby Bridges. That little girl in the Norman Rockwell picture, that's Ruby Bridges. Mm-hmm. And we can learn so much. So many people think they know something because they got information from Google. Information's one thing, but having wisdom, it comes from those that have experienced things. And she's experienced this, and she's sharing the love of God, you know, with us. And you think about it. That's why it was so important. When you saw Ruby Bridges and President Barack Obama standing in front of that painting, that was powerful. And that's a powerful scene because here she was. She was being rejected. She was being rejected because of the color of her skin. That's why having an African-American president was so important. It was so important to go from the time that she was being rejected just because of the color of her skin. And now America's come so full. And so you see President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, standing there with Miss Bridges, looking at the Norman Rockwell painting with the Marshalls with her. I mean, it's just a powerful, powerful thing. And it's exciting, though, to be able to see and know that God's established President Donald Trump to be able to take this thing full circle and do even more to bring us all together. Everybody matters in our country, and it's just so important. When we get back from this break, we're going to go right to the President's office, the White House, because he has reached out in a powerful way for women to be able to empower women and to be able to get them jobs in the STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, and he signed an order to be able to kind of focus in the area. We'll talk more about that. But before we go to break, we have an offer for you. You know, it's your partnership, us standing together, that we continue to keep the conversation light. We're broadcasting up to 100 different countries all over the Gulf Coast. Hello to Missouri out there. But it's partners that stand with us, that give a financial gift every single month. And for doing that, we have a gift for you. This gift is a very powerful gift. It's called Breaking Free from That Which Gives Jezebel Access to Your Life. It's a controlling type mindset spirit, and God wants to be able to set you free of that. And we're coming out of a Jezebelic environment, and God has set the nation free from this, but we have to get free from all that stuff that came along with it and not live that way. And you think about judgments. If you have a judgment on your house, you can go try to sell it all you want to, but when it comes time for the title, they do the title search, they're gonna say, you can't sell this house because you got a judgment on it. You're stuck with that house. And maybe you're stuck because you have a judgment on your life. God came to set you free of those judgments. This will help you. As a matter of freedom from judgments is a subtitle. We want to send this to you for your gift of any amount whatsoever. As a matter of fact, here's the details.
Offer 2026, Breaking Free from That Which Gives Jezebel Access to You, Freedom from Judgments.
moving from a season where there was a Jezebel and Ahab leadership to God-ordained leadership that walks in his ways takes our willingness to leave the old, ungodly ways behind. How can we live a life of doing so many good things in the name of the Lord and still end up in being in a place where our loving, merciful, kind, and compassionate Lord tells us, "Nevertheless, I have this against you." This prophetic teaching helps us identify what keeps a Jezebel spirit in our life, family, church, business, and/or our relationships. You'll discover how being critical and judgmental of others is not as innocent as a behavior as the world leads you to believe. You'll learn possibly why you've been feeling so condemned in your life about past or present behaviors. You'll learn how important and necessary it is to identify and deal correctly with a judgmental and critical spirit, and how lethal it is for us spiritually if we tolerate Jezebel and his or her ways. This message leads you to the wisdom in how to remove the spiritual weight, the drag, and the nets of judgments that may be restraining you from living the free life the Lord has called you to live in him. We want to send you this offer to you for your gift of any amount. Become a VFNTV partner by going to VFNTV.com or write to us at VFNTV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2026. Breaking free from that which gives Jezebel access to you. Freedom from judgments.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
How do you respond when your strong-willed child throws a temper tantrum in the middle of the store? This is Focus on the Family Minute, and today parenting expert Cynthia Tobias offers insights on how you can handle those situations better.
We call it the strong-willed child emergency kit, and that is your first step is to back off, get a little perspective, just back off, walk away if you have to, just a little ways. The second one is to figure out what the point is. What am I trying to accomplish? Is there another way to get there? So can I just, you know, dial it back just a little? And then the third way is to just be honest, to say, look, I'm not going to be able to do this here. I'm going to say something I regret, so I need to back off again. Just honesty.
Always good advice from Cynthia Tobias. Push, pause, take a deep breath, and get to the root of the issue. It'll go a long way toward ending those temper tantrums. More at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
C.S. Lewis made a very valid comment when he said this. He said, modern man in his technology has something that unites him with magic while separating him from the wisdom of the ages. The question for the person of the ages ago, the wise man and the prudent man, was how to conform the soul to reality. And the answer for the virtuous man of old was with virtue and righteousness and discipline. He said, for us moderns, the question has been changed. How can we reconstruct reality to satisfy our passions? And the answer is in a technique or technology. The wise man of old wanted to know how to conform the soul to reality. The answer was in virtue and righteousness and discipline. The modern man wants to know how to reconstruct reality to suit his or her own passions. And the answer is a technique or technology.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm telling you, these are exciting days.
These are very exciting days.
President Donald Trump is focusing on so many different areas and just taking the bull by the horns. Obviously, he's learned how to do it over the years because he's managing, you know, a multi-billion dollar industry and company across the world. And he's able to handle different, that's obviously an anointing, a gift to be able to do something like that. And some people can only manage one thing at a time, but we can't talk about that. But it's very important what they do, right?
He knows how to get things done.
The president. The president? Anyway, the president?
Yes.
I didn't know. Okay, so, but yeah, so he's actually focusing on STEM, which stands for, you'll hear it quite often, you'll hear it talked about, so you know we're learning as well, too. It's an acronym standing for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. And they're really wanting to focus to get people in there, but also to get women involved in that industry. It's a higher paying industry. There's a movie, I haven't seen the movie, but it's a historical evidentiary movie about the space, going into space and the rockets that is actually was like three or four African-American women who were gifted in the area of mathematics that calculated with a pencil and paper, go figure, right? This generation don't know about that. How to get the trajectory for rocket to be able to make it back to Earth. It's just a powerful thing. And so they're focusing on it. So our president, and I want you to remember this. Remember Galatians 3:28. You can see this right now. This is very important for us to remember as Christians, because historically so many folks have oppressed women and oppressed other folks and whatever. But as Christians, you know, Jesus, we're told in the Word of God, as Paul's writing in the book of Galatians, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So if you're getting a job, she should get a job too. If you have access as a male to science and technology and engineering and mathematics, you know, if we're moving in the spirit of Christ, we want to make sure everybody has a fair chance and a fair opportunity. As a matter of fact, our president is standing up for women's rights in this area. It's signing an executive order. As a matter of fact, let's go there now, the White House.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate your being here. We have a number of bills that we're signing and things that we're doing today. It was a busy day, and then I guess tonight will be a rather busy night. We look forward to it. I want to thank Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who's been a tremendous friend to a lot of people. He's done an amazing job. And Kevin, I want to thank you for being here. Very much appreciated. You had so much to do with this. Also want to thank everyone else who's with us today. In fact, I have some names, and I'll read some of them off because not everybody knows everybody. But you have Leader McCarthy, Representative Barbara Comstock, Lamar Smith. Thank you, Lamar, very much. I appreciate it. Joni Ernst, who's been a terrific, terrific senator, very talented woman, and a very good military person. And Deb Fisher, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We also have Senator Barrasso and Senator Bozeman. Joni, we said hello. Deb, we said hello. Heidi Heitkamp, thank you, Heidi. Senator Jim Inhofe. Senator Pat Roberts, Senator Dan Sullivan, Representative Bob Gibbs, Bill Schuster, and Representative Lamar Smith. We really appreciate you being here. And of course, we have our new SBA Director, Linda McMahon, and Secretary DeVos. So we have a lot of great talent. Today, I'm signing two bills that promote women entering and leading the STEM field, science, technology, engineering, and math. Currently, only one in four women who gets a STEM degree is working in a STEM job, which is not fair, and it's not even smart for the people that aren't taking advantage of it. It's unacceptable that we have so many American women who have these degrees, but yet are not being employed in these fields. So I think that's going to change. It's going to change very rapidly. Protecting women with STEM degrees and all Americans with STEM degrees, very important. But it also means you have to crack down on offshoring, because the offshoring is it's a tremendous problem that displaces many of our best American workers and brains, the brain power. So I just want to thank you all for being here. Vice President Pence always felt very, very strongly about this issue and many others, and I appreciate, Mike, I appreciate that very much. And I'm going to sign this right now, and I want to congratulate everybody in the room, and We have to sign it today. I know we have a lot of things coming on later on, but if we don't sign this one and the next one today, we have to start the process all over again, Joni, right?
Yes, yes.
I think that's not good. So that's why we're here. Okay, well, thank you very much. And you can... We look forward to it.
One other
okay.
Did you pull the talking sheet out?
Yeah, I have it in here. Okay, I think we all know what this is. Even though somebody took my notes, it makes no difference.
It's the second bill you just read. We're going to do
it. It really makes no difference. But this is the second bill that we're signing, and that's the H.R. 321, the Inspire Women Act. Ensures that the existing NASA programs recruit women to STEM-related jobs and aerospace careers. Great. It's really, we're going to go very heavy into the whole NASA situation. So women will be a big, big part of it. H.R. 255, the Promoting Women in Entrepreneurship Act, enables the National Science Foundation to support women inventors, of which there are many, researchers and scientists, and bringing their discoveries to the business world, championing science and entrepreneurship, and creating new ways to improve people's lives. So important. We need policies that help support women in the workforce, and that's really very much going to be addressed by my administration over the years. I'm going to get more and more of these bills coming out. And address the barriers faced by female entrepreneurs and those in STEM fields. We want American women who graduate from college with STEM degrees to be able to get STEM jobs that can support their families and help these American women to live out the American dream, which they are so qualified to live out. So, again, I want to thank you all for being here. Fantastic. This is so important. Thank you all for being here very much. Thank you, folks. Thank you all very much. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
That's so exciting to see what's taken place.
Yes.
You know, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics is important because the first thing you think of when you hear STEM, you think of stem cell research. You think
Which
about
is not the same thing.
You know, taking the umbilical cords from babies and taking the cells out, you know, that kind of thing. This is not that. This is about science, technology, education, and mathematics. And you're looking at the contribution women have given, you know, for years in our country, and they deserve equal chances like everybody else. And our president is standing up. It's exciting.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we get back from this break, we're going to hear from a very prominent teacher. Her name is Joyce Myers, and she's speaking at Elevate at a revival they had, and very appropriate, right? Joyce Myers, for 40 years, she's taught around the world. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There are almost 7 billion people who are living on planet Earth right now. And I wish every one of them could read through the Bible before they ended their time on Earth. It's where we find truth. It's what God says about himself. Because everyone has an opinion about what is right and what is wrong, but ultimately, it doesn't matter what you think. We all think differently. Every culture has a thought of what is right and what is wrong, and there's a majority in every culture that buys into a certain belief system. And yet what Scripture says is, you know, the grass is going to wither, the flower is going to fade, but the Word of God, the Word
word of our God will stand forever. At the end, we're not going to be judged by the majority. We're going to be judged by God himself. We need to get people alone with this book, reading it for themselves, understanding it for themselves. Because when this is all over, it's going to be about God's word. And his authority is the only authority.
Welcome back. We're going straight from the White House, where President Trump is signing an executive order to be able to support women in the STEM. Was it? It's the STEM, science,
technology, engineering,
and mathematics. As a matter of fact, let's go to a very prominent lady. Her name is Joyce Myers. For 40 years now, she has been teaching around the world. She's at Elevate, and she's just sharing a moment. Let's take a look.
I want to start by giving you some really good news. I know that the ladies are going to be really excited, and the guys will probably be excited too. Thought somebody was behind me. Whoops. Ladies, a new store has opened up in New York City, and it is the husband store. And if you want a husband, you can go there and shop for one. Now, there are some guidelines to shopping at this store. There are 6 floors in the store. Once you visit a floor and leave that floor and go to the next floor, you can't go back down. So there's none of this like looking at all the merchandise and then deciding what you want. So a woman went to the husband store. And on the first floor, the sign read, "These men have jobs." She thought, wow, a man with a job. That would be really good. She thought about it, but she thought, well, I have to see what's on the second floor. So she went to the second floor. "These men have jobs and they love kids." She thought, wow, this is getting sweeter by the minute. But she had to see what was on the third floor. "These men have jobs, love kids, and are extremely good looking." Well, I don't know, maybe I just better find somebody on this floor because that sounds good. But still, she felt compelled to keep looking. She went to the fourth floor where the sign read, "These men have jobs, love kids, and are drop dead good looking, and they help with the housework." Come on, ladies, now, this is... I mean, I tell you, I've been married to my guy 50 years. 50. And he does dishes. He does laundry. He gets the bed ready at night. And he plays all the golf he wants to. She thought, wow, jobs, loves kids, good looking, helps with the housework. Oh, mercy me, she thought, I can hardly stand it. And yet she had to go see what was on the fifth floor. "These men have jobs, love kids, are drop dead gorgeous." Excuse me, I'm having a little voice issue here. "And they have a strong romantic streak." Come on, housework and romance. But she thought, well, it keeps getting better, so I just have to find out what is on the top floor. The top floor, the sign read, "You are visitor 31,456,012 to this floor. There are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely as proof that women are impossible to please." To avoid gender bias, the owner thought he best put a new wives' store across the street. So once again, there were six floors and same rules. You can only visit one floor one time. Floor number one, man went in. This floor has wives that love sex. Floor number two. This floor has wives that love sex and they have money. Floors three through six have never been visited.
Well, I think men are a little bit more complicated than that. My goodness gracious. Obviously, he's having a good time there at Elevate with Pastor Stephen Furtick. And it's just an exciting time to be able to see what was happening there. And for 40 years, she's been out teaching. It's so important for us to recognize. It's going to take all of us to do what God has called us to do, to be able to step in this arena. It's one thing I like about our president, you know, President Trump. I mean, he looks at the church and says, get busy. Mm-hmm. You know, you should be doing something. You should be speaking up. And they're going to talking about doing away with the Johnson Amendment, which prevents people in a lot of their minds to be able to speak freely from a church perspective. But as an individual, it's never held you back. But that's about to be gone,
yep.
Which means that and there's never been, not only once was a church tax exemption status, and that's the Johnson Amendment, only once, just once. It was taken away, and it was given back after that. So all that fear, all that, you know, everything is just been an excuse.
It's a false assumption.
It's a false assumption, and it's like, you know, we got to be able to stand up for what's right and in love and in truth, and it's exciting, and it's going to take all of us. You're going to war. You're going, like, you know, you guys say, you know what? You know, give everybody, you know, a weapon. Let's go fight this war. Well, this is a war. It's a spiritual war. Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle against spiritual wickedness, and we need all the members of the body of Christ. We all need to be healthy and functioning and loving and kind and reaching out. And so it's so exciting to see the president sign this STEM bill. Past presidents, when they talked about STEM bill, it was not that. Yeah. But this is about helping women get into the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And it's just exciting to see all these things come to pass. So I want to pray with you right now. Would you pray with us and pray for us? Father God, we love you. We thank you for touching our president's heart to be able to make sure that women have a fairer chance in the workplace, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for Ruby Bridges and her awesome testimony of your love and her grace, God. We just thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord. We can see how you're moving on the hearts of people. You're bringing us together in a place of unity and focus and just a newness, a fresh wind. The angel called unity you're establishing over this nation again. We're standing with Israel. God, we're just so grateful, God. We're grateful for all of our partners who stand with us, God, and our sponsors who stand with us to keep us on the air, God. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, that you would end abortion in America and the world, and that you would send a revival, a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Hey, we were just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good, you know. I mean, right. is there something, you know, we prayed for a long time. You know, we pray for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it just felt so heavy and so broken. Yeah. And so I don't think I have the grace
that I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap and barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yeah, he did sure that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally put
a sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're gods, and not if you say you're gods, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're gods, God's with apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide, you hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.